Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified. We're thankful that you got Emmanuel well after him being sick for several days, and that he's able to preach and minister today. And we pray that you bless him and his service today. We pray that you be with Eric and indeed with all our ministers here in Chevy. Please be with all of our teachers, and we pray that you bless them and help us that we can all bear much fruit. Father, we've named a lot of our sick and shut in, and you know that there are many, many more, and we pray that you continue to bless them and help them and heal them and raise them up. We're thankful for our radio ministry that goes out to all the world, for our internet ministry. We're thankful for our feeding ministry that feeds the poor and the homeless and those that are down and out. And we pray that you'll continue to help us with that. In Jesus' name, Father, we beseech you that you help us, that we might be able to go on and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and those are visitors. You are our honored guests. Our honored guests. I had a doozy of a weekend. I twisted my ankle, and then I ate something and got me a tummy ache. But I'm feeling better, good enough to preach right now. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Today we will be continuing. We started the week before last about the promises of God, and they all entailed in Christ. Last week, I talked about the promise of Christ's second coming, or the parousia. Today, I'm going to finish that lesson, hopefully. A little bit of review. The coming of Christ is one event. Can everybody hear me? Good. The coming of Christ is one event. There is no secret rapture. The word rapture is not used in the Bible. There is a promise of Christ's second coming, and it is called the parousia, the coming of Christ. Definition from the present participle, being near advent of Christ, especially to punish Jerusalem, or finally the wicked, by implication physically. The aspect of coming Christ's presence. At the end of time, Christ will come again, and we will be caught up to go with Christ. The earth will be burned up, and nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And you can refer to 2 Peter 3:13 in that one. The coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, is in power and glory, and is one event. Mark 13:26, and it says, and you can refer to it, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. If you would be opening up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 13. Now, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 13 through 18, is what we as Christians normally read in funerals. I read that for the last funeral, and it is comforting words. Paul teaches the church at Thessalonica about the second coming of Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, before I go on, I want to mention something in passing. Jesus speaks gives warnings concerning his coming. There are three things that Jesus talks about. We know that Christ warns about the destruction of Jerusalem. We know that. That's in Scripture. And that he is speaking to the Jews, and that occurred in 70 AD. And this is a little brief thing I want to tell you. And then also, now, the destruction of Jerusalem was with signs and warnings. Jesus was warning about it to tell the Christians to flee from that Jerusalem before this destruction was to come in 70 AD. Okay, that was one warning that Jesus gave. And there was another warning that Jesus gives in Scripture of the parousia, the second coming. And that is for those that are in Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It speaks of it as a comfort to those that are in Christ. Now, there is something else that he warns of. Now, the destruction of Jerusalem was with many signs and warnings, and he called them those days. And then that day, he uses the singular in the day of the parousia, the coming of the Lord, where that would come with a shout. It's going to be immediate. It's going to be in one day, and it's all going to happen. See? And that's the second warning that Jesus gives. You can refer to Matthew chapter 24. Then he gives another warning also. There is a warning to those that die. See, if you die before the second coming of Christ, then you are warned that the state that you die in, if it's in Christ or not in Christ, is the state that you are going to either receive the Lord when the parousia comes or die the eternal death. That's another warning that Jesus gives. I wanted to briefly cover that. Okay. Again, Paul teaches the church at Thessalonica, I still can't get that right. I have to do pronunciation class about the second coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep is the word komeo, if I can pronounce it right. And that is this word where we get the word cemetery from. Cemetery. Okay, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We would not have you ignorant. That was one of Paul's favorite ways of introducing a new and important subject. By the way, the word ignorant and the word ignorance and the word without knowledge that he would not have us, the New Testament scripture is full of scriptures telling us that we need to have knowledge, that we can't be ignorant. Some 30 plus times, it's the Apostle Paul uses it alone. Knowledge without knowledge, ignorance and ignorant. Okay, Paul had not been gone from Thessalonica. I'm going to have to think of a short word to put in its place. Thessalonica, but for a short time before this was written, but already the death had descended upon some. Them which are asleep, the metaphor was frequently used by our Lord, as in the instance of Jairus and Lazarus. Okay, the very word for cemetery, koimeterion, is derived from the word used here, komeo. That means sleep, a place of sleep. Now, you sorrow not, Paul is not introducing the doctrine of resurrection as anything new, but as something they already knew and believed in. Paul was talking to Christians. We are to comfort Christians that lose their loved ones that are Christians, that they are going to be secure in heaven. And when you die in Christ, that is, then you will be with them in heaven also. Hallelujah. Paul assumes their faith in the resurrection of the dead and argues from it. It is certain that faith in the resurrection existed from the very first in Christianity, even as others which have no hope. The belief held generally by the Greeks was that there was no resurrection, that death was the end of all things. That is not so. There is a life after death, if you would call it. To those that are in Christ, we are going to live eternally and gloriously with Christ. And those that are not in Christ, I'm sorry to say you're going to burn in the lake of eternal hellfire. Now, where do I get that from? Well, I get that from the Word of God. It's in the book. You can read it for yourself. And I want you to live. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that is the gospel. It's pertaining to the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That is the gospel. We as Christians know that. The Apostle Paul is speaking to Christians. We know that. So, those that are not Christians, how do you become Christians? Well, you must obey the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how do you obey death, burial, and resurrection? There has to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection in your life. If you was baptized already, or so you say, and you did not have the gospel preached to you, then you were not baptized with that one obedient baptism of faith. Not yet. Obeying the gospel is essential, and without the gospel, can no one be baptized into the gospel. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4, 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with them. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, believing the gospel and the coming and coming to Jesus for salvation in the appointed way, how many, if there's one gospel, right? Oh, I just let the cat out of the bag. I would ask you, how many gospels are there? How many gospels are there? One. There's only one gospel. And if there's only one gospel, how many ways is there to obey that one gospel? Only one. An eight-year-old can figure that out. Okay? Appointed in the way. Them also which asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The glorious promises of this passage are for them that sleep in Jesus. Thus again, the supreme importance of being in Christ appears as a mandatory prerequisite, if I pronounce that right, of receiving any Christian blessing. So, you think you got Christians' blessings and you ain't in Christ? Well, you're wrong. Sorry to say. And those that think you could be saved any other way and believe in any other God, if you're Muslim, you think Muslims is going to be saved? Well, you're wrong. You believe Buddhists are going to be saved? Well, you're wrong. Unless they obey the gospel and become Christians. Amen. And this is not me saying this, but it's in the book. So you can believe what you want to believe, but I'm going to believe the Word of God. And I would adjure you that you believe the Word of God also. Hallelujah. The Apostle John wrote, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Revelation 14, 13, you can refer to it. And the same teaching is in Paul's words here. Them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Judah 1:14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Thousands and thousands of thousands, an innumerable number of saints. And Jesus is coming with them. Are you going to be numbered among the saints? I hope that I will. Let us encourage each other to continue to be in Christ. Okay? Continue in the doctrine of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This word prevent doesn't mean to prevent. It is the word pathano. And that means not go before. Okay? We which are alive, when Paul said we, he means those who are living, those that are alive, those Christians who are alive until the second coming of Christ, shall not prevent them which are asleep. The word prevent, pathano, means to precede or go before. So what's going to happen is, those that are dead, if I am alive until Christ comes, and those that are dead in Christ, if anybody's been died in Christ, then when Christ comes, those dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then God will take us also. It's called the hapazo, to be caught up. Okay? There is no disadvantage to those who died before the coming of the Lord. As a matter of fact, having already undergone the necessary change that must come to all, they are a step nearer to the resurrection and shall therefore rise first, as Paul will say in the next verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Descend from heaven. Paul's words here are still the best way to declare the sudden manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cataclysmic end of this age. How long will the coming of Christ take? How long will it be? Will it last for 6 days, 13 days, umpteen weeks? No, it's going to be one day. Big old blast, a pow, a bam. I forget that word. I will be reminded later. But you'll know when it comes. You'll know that it's here. And those that are in Christ should rejoice. And I told you, you're going to be caught up, whether you like it or not. So if you're making yourself a steak dinner, like I said, and you say, well, Lord, can I finish the steak first? No. Or if you're giving your wife a smooch or your husband, and he says, oh, I want to finish giving my wife or husband. Hopefully she's going with you. And give her a happy smooch. Well, y'all go together, you can smooch all you want up in heaven. Hallelujah. The manifestation will be upon the whole earth. By the way, it won't be a little part of the earth. It's going to be the whole world in one day. Can you imagine that? I think that would be some frightening stuff. And not merely upon some part of it. And there simply are no words that can adequately convey to our minds and understanding any meaningful description of it. These words are not to be taken in a literal sense. They are figures of speech with a shout. You ain't gonna hear somebody yell, ah, and that's it. But when it comes, you're going to know with the voice of the archangel. And the archangel, if he gives a shout, I will be afraid. How about you? And even more afraid if you're not in Christ. I feel so sorry for you. But you will get your opportunity to get in Christ. To get in Christ. You will get your opportunity. If you come here every week, we'll give you the opportunity. Call it the invitation every week. You'll find out. And with the trump of God, the coming of Christ will be accompanied with great signs and wonders, such as at the giving of the law. Okay. Destruction of Jerusalem. There ought to be signs and wonders. I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 19. But I'm going to tell you again, even as before, and I'll tell you again. As a thief in the night, the Lord will come. So if you think you're going to be in sin, in whatever sin you're in, and you're like, oh, I'm in this sin, and I'm looking for the signs, so then I'll know when to stop. It ain't going to happen like that. As a thief in the night, you know the day you get hit by a bus and you die? Well, if you're in Christ, then hallelujah, you made it. But if you know you're not in Christ, I feel so sorry. I feel so sorry. Exodus 19, 16 through 19. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. The day of the Lord, when he comes, will probably be like that in one day. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as a smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. This is similar, but this was just in Mount Sinai. Imagine this in the whole world, how loud it would be, how tremendous, how glorious, how wonderful, how frightening. But the scripture says the actual day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You can refer to 1 Thessalonians, and I will go there, 1 Thessalonians 5:2 and 2 Peter 3:10. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet, that is the word harpazo, to be caught up, one word, harpazo. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be caught up. And it'll be a glorious day if you're in Christ. Caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. To meet the Lord in the air, not to dwell with him in the air, but then to accompany him to the new heaven and the new earth. All kinds of speculation and postulated and pontificated speculations and postulates and pontification of these words, or these descriptions of these words, are said. But we don't really know how exactly it's going to be. Now, Exodus 19, 16 to 19 will give probably us the closest example of what's going to happen that day of the Parousia, the second coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Again, in funerals, I give this 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Verse 13 through 18. If somebody loses a loved one, you can comfort them with those words. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Verse 2. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Jesus says to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Stay in the will of God. Stay in Christ. If you stumble, if you fall, if you slip up, get back up, ask God for forgiveness, and come back to Christ. Because you have to be in Christ in order to obtain eternal salvation. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh so as a thief in the night. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. And it reads, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth cometh. Doth come. Now, if you're waiting on the Lord and you die, it's just as if, when you die, it will be just as if the Lord came. It will be too late if you're not in Christ. How much more must I urge you? Matthew 24, verse 42 again. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth cometh. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Either he's going to come or you're going to die before he comes. Either way, you must be in Christ. In each instance, call it an instance. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say, who is they? Who shall say this? Again, 1 Thessalonians 5, 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Who are they? Those that will not escape. Those that have not repented of their sins. Those that have not obeyed the gospel. It's too late for them when they die. It's too late for them when Jesus comes in that day, one day. When they shall say, has the equivalent meaning. When they shall say, has the equivalent meaning of when people are saying. Primarily, it is the non-Christian portion of humanity. Because this warning is that Christians may not find themselves surprised by the Lord's coming. When they shall say peace and safety, at the precise moment when humanity feels most secure in their rebellion and sin against God, and at the time when all the devices of government, society, and the world may have produced the environment in which many may fancy that peace and prosperity and safety of the whole world has been secured. Pretty lengthy word, huh? Precisely then shall the Lord descend from heaven with a mighty shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. If you walk in darkness, if you live in darkness, you will die in darkness. And it'll be too late. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then eternal life in God's glory is your home. 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, and this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 11 through 21. I'm going to read verse 1 again. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a glorious day that will be. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter is forewarning. Peter is trying to remind you guys, as I am doing right now, those that are in Christ, those that are babes in Christ, I encourage you to remain in Christ. And I would have you, we need to encourage each other to remain in Christ constantly. Because we don't know when that day is coming. Don't let anybody fool you. Nobody knows when that day is coming. So if somebody tells you, well, this is when the Lord's coming, run from him. Or if you're strong enough, preach the gospel to him to get him saved. But get out of there. Second Peter 1, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Verse 13, yeah, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this is Peter, he's getting ready to tell them that he's about to die, okay, that I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. I'm a Christian. And if I die, if death suddenly comes upon me, I should not be afraid. If you are Christians, if we are Christians, we should not be afraid of death. Now, we know that we are in this flesh, and God has given the natural flesh of any animal instinctive fear to try to stay alive. So yes, we have that instinctive fear. But after that, should we be afraid to die if we're Christians? If I die today, great. I mean, I'll miss you guys, but I know I'll see you soon. See? If I die today, hallelujah, if I'm in Christ. But oh, woe unto me if I die today and I'm not in Christ. Oh, boy, I would feel so sorry for myself. Woe unto me if I'm not in Christ. Same as you, verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Always remember this. Verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, we who are in Christ. There are people following fables all the time. All the time. Poor guys. And it's hard. They'll come to the Main Street Church of Christ to argue, to tell me that I'm wrong. Wait a minute, I'm just reading the Word. If you're telling me I'm wrong, then you're telling me the book is wrong. And that's wrong. Why do we not obey? Verse 16 again. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, the apostle Paul, all the apostles, Apostle Peter, Paul, they were all eyeball witnesses of Christ. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, Christ, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that was in Matthew chapter 3, and also it's in Luke somewhere, where Jesus was transfigurated. Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This more sure word of prophecy is the Bible. If somebody tells you they have the Holy Spirit, and they tell you something contrary to the Bible, then guess what? They don't have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit cannot contradict the Word, because the Word was given by the Holy Spirit. The Word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 2, there are warnings against false prophets and false teachers. You want to know a false teacher? Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. I can simply know if a prophet is a prophet of God, because they must have the gospel. So if somebody gives you any prophecy, all you got to do is ask them what the gospel is. They should know it. And even if they do know it, there's something else they must know. What the gospel is and how to obey it. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. If they don't know that, then they're not sent from God. They are a false prophet. So, you see them rich preachers? You see them prosperous 3,000 people in their big giant mega church? Go up to them if they let you and ask them what the gospel is. And if they don't know, then guess what? You got 3,000 people that probably don't know it either. So why not teach it to them? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, Peter warns against these guys. Knowing this first, again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking in their own lusts, carnal folk, looking to get gain. Scoffers. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil, because they are carnal, because they are selfish, because they are seeking self-gain. They are self-righteous. 2 Peter 3, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They argue that the natural order of seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter, seed time and harvest, that which is because it's ever been and forever will be. That's what they say. To reach these conclusions, they must be disregarding some important facts. One important fact is that they don't know about the second coming of Christ. A couple of important facts that they don't know. They don't know who God is, and they don't know what God is able to do. 2 Peter 3, 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, I'll read that to you. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament, and the firmament is an expanse. And God divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good, dividing the waters from the waters above and the waters below. Back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Peter 3, 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Overflowed with water, perished. Verse 7. The heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. Reserved unto what? Unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. How will the earth be destroyed? By fire, by a fervent heat. Important. This is 2 Peter verses 3, chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Oh. I forgot to ask if you would please turn off your cell phones. Yeah, but I did do it myself. 2 Peter 3:8, very important verse. Listen to this. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. There's the word ignorance again, right? So God does not want us ignorant. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The passing of time has no bearing on the promises or the threats of God. What promises? What threats? Well, you got the promises of God. There was a song sung a couple of weeks ago, a song, Standing on the Promises of God. And what are the promises? Some of it, the promise of the seed, the promise of salvation, everlasting life. The promise of the King, Jesus. The promise of the kingdom, the church. The promise of the Messiah, who is Christ the King. The promise of the Holy Spirit. And the promise of Christ's second coming. Those are important promises, I would venture to say. Again, the passing of time has no bearing on the promises or the threats of God. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is the promise of eternal salvation. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And that is the threat of eternal damnation if you do not obey the gospel. And what is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, our Savior. And where is that found at? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Paul is declaring it to the church at Corinth. He is declaring it to Christians to remind them that they must remember it because they've already obeyed it. But you must obey it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. He preached it to them already, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. They received it. How do you receive the gospel? By obeying it. And wherein you stand. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So, not only must we hear the gospel to obey it, not only must we obey it, but after that we've obeyed it, we must remember it the rest of our Christian lives. Because it is what we need to win souls to Christ. If you cannot win a soul to Christ, if you don't have the gospel, how can you be called a Christian? And if you don't have the gospel, then you've become just as those false prophets that can give you a bunch of knowledge but can't save you. It's God that saves you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I've also received. The Apostle Paul obeyed it himself. Here it is, guys. How that Christ, who's Christ? The Son of God. If you don't know who Christ is, if you don't know that he's the Son of God, if you don't know who Christ is, you don't know who God is. And if you don't know who God is, you cannot be saved. So know who Christ is. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Learn of this Christ. Know who he is. How that Christ, and if you know he's the Son of God, then you can be saved. How that Christ, what did he do? He died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Death, burial, and resurrection. If the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection, how do you obey death, burial, and resurrection? Peter said it simply. In Acts 2:38, repent, death to sin, and be baptized, burial, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is no resurrection without the Holy Spirit, and you must have the Holy Spirit to be saved. So, are you ready for the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit? Because if you are, you can come up here and obey that very gospel that I just preached to you. We got water. Won't you come up and do that right now? Those that are in need of prayer, you can fill out those response cards if you have not done it already, and you can bring them up and we will pray for you. Why don't you do that right now? Why don't you do that right now before it's everlasting too late as we sing our invitational song? Brother Ken? Become a Christian.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, if y'all say hallelujah, if you say amen, that'll be good enough for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, Joe Garcia, you believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now you want to repent of your sins and become a Christian. You believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Say, Lord Jesus. Okay, well, amen. Amen. Get you baptized.
All right. Go ahead, follow him, Joe.
All right. You have
okay.
Based on Joe's confession, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. According to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures?
Yes, sir.
When you believe the gospel, now you want to repent of yourself of sins and become a Christian.
Yes, sir.
You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
Lord Jesus. Based on Steve's confession, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. Tell you, I've been trying to get this guy saved for a long time now, all right? He finally obeyed. Hallelujah.